There has been welcome talk recently about growth in the church in Scotland. But we shouldn't lose sight of the low point that any growth is coming from. Around a year ago, one article suggested that the percentage of the Scottish population that goes to a church of any kind was around 7%. The same article suggested that if you were to dig down to see what percentage of the Scottish population has believed the gospel and responded to the gospel, it could be as low as 1.5%. And that is appallingly low. As a church, we should view it as a crisis, and it should spur our evangelism on. When we look away from the church to the nation, we see secularism and materialism abound. We see problems socially and financially and morally. Scotland has the highest drug deaths in Western Europe once again. Our health service is under immense pressure. Our education system has challenges. As we look on our nation, the challenges are many and great, and crisis would not be too strong a word. And when you look at your own life, the challenges you face and the challenges your loved ones face, perhaps you would on occasion readily use the word crisis. In our evening series, we've been looking at biblical prayers. We're considering prayers from the likes of Jonah and Hannah, to name just two, to see what we can learn, what we can pray, what we can emulate. And this evening we're looking at the prayer of King Hezekiah when he faces a kingdom-threatening crisis. Now, no one here is a king or a queen. We're not in a position of authority over a kingdom. Nevertheless, I think we can learn from Hezekiah, and he can be a help to us as we think about how we might pray for the church and the problems before her, our nation and the problems it faces, or perhaps even the personal crises we face in life. How do we pray when facing a crisis? We're examining Hezekiah's prayer to see how he prayed when he faced a crisis. Before we do that, let's remind ourselves, we're jumping into the middle of a book here. Who is Hezekiah? Hezekiah lived over 700 years before Christ, and he reigned in Jerusalem from the age of 25 for 29 years. He was a good king. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to chapter 18, we get a summary of his reign. You'll perhaps remember if you were with us in Harper a couple of years ago as we worked through 1 and 2 Kings, that each king receives a summary as we're introduced to him. In chapter 18 from verse 1 is Hezekiah's summary. Let me read from chapter 18, verse 1. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Leah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went out, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. So that's King Hezekiah, a good king, a gem of a king, a bright star of a king. He was pleasing in the sight of God. Now, as we come to his prayer in the midst of a crisis, further context will be helpful for us. Let's ask ourselves, what is the crisis that is facing Hezekiah? Well, we should know for starters that Israel has already split into two kingdoms long before he came to the throne. The northern kingdom, called Israel, has its capital in Samaria. The southern kingdom, called Judah, has its capital in Jerusalem. And no kings in the northern kingdom get a positive review. The northern kingdom of Israel goes from bad to worst. It spirals downwards and downwards. It is eventually exiled in chapter 17 by the king of Assyria. and Samaria, the capital, falls. And all this is a result of God's fierce wrath because of rampant idolatry and breaking of covenant with God. Israel, the northern kingdom, the supposed people of God, had become so wicked, they'd fallen so low as to become involved in child sacrifice. Key for our understanding of Hezekiah's prayer is this: Samaria falls, and the people of the northern kingdom are exiled while Hezekiah is the king in Judah. Hezekiah and those in Judah and those in Jerusalem, its capital, have witnessed the northern kingdom of Israel fall by a seemingly unstoppable king of Assyria. They've witnessed the power and brutality of this invading nation, which has in fact conquered many nations before Israel, and now they are coming for Judah. The equivalent for us would be to see the Netherlands and Belgium and Germany and Spain and Portugal and France fall to some invading army, and then for that invading army to cross the Channel and conquer England. It would be as if we in Scotland looked on as London fell. How would the First Minister of Scotland feel? How would you feel as that conquering army heads towards our border? That's the situation facing Hezekiah. That's the crisis that's before him and his kingdom. And it's what happened. During Hezekiah's reign, the king of Assyria did invade Judah. The king of Assyria did capture the cities and towns in Hezekiah's kingdom. And Jerusalem is all that remains. The capital is in peril. And the Assyrian army reaches Jerusalem's very walls, and a representative from the Assyrian army taunts Hezekiah's officials. This representative of the king of Assyria shouts out to all standing on Jerusalem's fortified walls, chapter 18, verse 29, "Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.'" This is the crisis before Hezekiah. It is a kingdom threatening crisis. Now, Hezekiah's officials who heard this taunt shouted from the base of Jerusalem's walls, they report to Hezekiah all that was said, and in response, Hezekiah tears his clothes and he puts on sackcloth, and he inquires of Isaiah the prophet, who reassures him not to fear the king of Assyria. But the taunts keep coming. And the first verse of our passage, verse 14, makes reference to a letter from the hand of the messengers of the king of Assyria. And it is the contents of this letter and the further taunts within this letter that are what drive Hezekiah to his knees. And let's look back briefly to chapter 19 and verse 10 of our chapter to see what drives Hezekiah to his knees. The king of Assyria says, we read, "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? The nations that my fathers destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, the king of Hena, or the king of Iva?" And Hezekiah knows that these kings are gone, and their kingdoms are now under the rule of Assyria. This is Hezekiah's crisis. This is what drives him to prayer. Hezekiah in his sackcloth takes that letter and he marches, verse 14, to the house of the Lord. And what does he do when he reaches the temple? We read still in verse 14 that he spreads that letter out before the Lord. It is a physical act that, as we'll see, he also verbalizes in prayer. Hezekiah is bringing the problem. He's bringing the crisis to the Lord, and doing so magnifies the Lord. It is an act that communicates that Hezekiah is unable, he is weak, he does not have the resources, but he's coming to one who is able, who is strong, who does have the resources. So let's look at the content of his prayer. And as Hezekiah begins to pray on his knees in the temple, as he begins to pray in the midst of a looming national crisis, the first thing he does is exalt God. And as we examine his prayer, the first thing that we can learn, the first thing that we can emulate is this. We should exalt God as we pray and bring to mind who he is. Look to the text, please, verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Hezekiah exalts God. Hezekiah brings to mind who it is he is praying to. He is praying first to the God of Israel, the God who chose Israel and would cause Israel to be, and who sustained Israel, who made a covenant with Israel, the God who set his electing love on Israel. Hezekiah is calling on the Holy One of Israel. Hezekiah prays to the God who is enthroned and enthroned above the cherubim. That's what the text says. And the cherubim are powerful angels. Though Hezekiah's world is in utmost turmoil, though the nations rage, though the mountains have fallen into the heart of the sea, though the tempest rages, Hezekiah is praying to the God who is seated on his throne. He is enthroned. And how important it is for us to keep this at the forefront of our minds. As the world descends into chaos and destruction, God reigns. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. God is seated on his throne. God shall never be dethroned. Hezekiah is praying, note still in verse 15, to the God who alone is the God of the nations. There is one God. God is God and there is no other. And this God is the God of the kingdoms of the earth. The kingdoms on earth may not acknowledge him. The kingdoms on earth may be entirely ignorant of him. It matters not. There's one God. He sits on his throne, and he is the God of the kingdoms of the earth. He is the one that causes nations to rise and fall. He determines a nation's borders. He reigns. He is on his throne. He's God of the nations. And Hezekiah, the end of verse 15, brings to mind that he's praying to the one who made heaven and earth. Christian, as you look at the spiritual crisis before the church, the astounding task the church has to evangelize the nation, as you look to the seemingly insurmountable political problems facing our nation, as you look to your own personal crisis, remember your weakness and your smallness, and then look to who your God is and exalt him in prayer. Bring to your own mind, as Hezekiah does here, who it is that you're praying to. You're praying to the God who has set his covenant love on the church through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're praying to the God who is God of the kingdoms of this world to this day. You're praying to Jesus Christ, the one through whom all things are made and who sustains all things. You're praying to the God who made heaven and earth. Pray these great truths to God as a form of praise. Exalt him for who he is. And when you pray these things, I think what it will do is embolden your faith. You're coming before a God for whom nothing is too difficult. So Hezekiah opens his prayer, exalting God and bringing to mind who it is he's praying to. Hezekiah moves on and he passionately calls on God to consider the crisis. Hezekiah states the problem. He articulates the extent of the crisis. Look with me again at the text, picking things up in verse 16, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And he says, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. Hezekiah, when faced with a crisis, is not stoic in his prayers. He's passionate. He's animated. Incline your ear, O Lord. Hear. Open your eyes. See. It is a plea to God to take up Hezekiah's cause and the cause of Judah. Just as Hezekiah physically laid the letter out before the Lord, now he verbalizes the taunts of the Assyrian king. He verbalizes the problem. He lays out the extent of the crisis. Look, Lord, at the might of Assyria. See how they have swept through many nations. They fear no God. What is Hezekiah doing here? Again, I think he is magnifying the Lord. How so? Well, he's laying out these problems before the Lord in a manner that communicates that he, Hezekiah, does not have the resources to overcome this problem, that he is too weak to deal with the king of Assyria, and he knows that God is mighty and does have the resources to overcome the king of Assyria. I am unable. Here's the crisis. I am unable and you are able is the underlying heart cry of Hezekiah's prayer. And that posture magnifies the Lord. Whenever you come to the Lord with a crisis, with a problem you can't deal with, that very act magnifies the Lord. So we can do the same as we lay out the challenges the church faces. Lord, look at the spiritual state of our city and nation. See how many are lost in their sin. See how many have hardened their hearts against you. See how many despise the church and all that she stands for and teaches. We can do the same as we lay the challenges facing our nation out before the Lord. Lord, look, see. See how society has undermined the family. How what is wicked is celebrated. Look at the challenges before our health service. Look at the poverty that abounds. Look, Lord, at the insurmountable problems our nation faces. And we can do the same as we think about our own personal crises. Father, see, look, see how my loved ones are far from you. See the woes that are before me in the workplace. See the challenges I face as a single parent. In prayer, state the problem to your God. Lay out the extent of the crisis clearly. This is what Hezekiah did. After exalting God and setting forth who God is, he then sets out the crisis before God. He sets out the crisis before the only one who can do anything about it. Only when we reach verse 19 do we have Hezekiah's core prayer. Only in verse 19 do we have explicitly what Hezekiah is asking of God, his prayer request, we might say. Read with me verse 19. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand. That's at root what Hezekiah is praying. Save us, rescue us, deliver us. His prayer is help. His prayers intercede. It is a great, great prayer. Christian, there are many circumstances in this fallen world that we face collectively and individually for which we do not have the resources. We do not have the answers. And our only hope is God. It's the heart cry of our corporate prayer meetings, isn't it? When we pray for the ministries of the church that involve evangelism, our prayer is God help, God save, God intercede in the lives of those around us. When we pray for those who are unwell in the church, our prayer is God help, God rescue. When we pray for our nation and those in positions of authority in government and hospitals and schools and financial institutions, our prayer is Lord help. Our nation is sinking. Judah faces the possibility of war with Assyria. Jerusalem is heading towards a siege. Hezekiah and his army are outnumbered and outmatched. Hezekiah's prayer is the right prayer. O Lord our God, save us, please. He's calling on God's power. He's calling on God's goodness. Christian, you call upon the same God. Now, Hezekiah is praying because he personally wants to be delivered, and he wants his people to be spared. He doesn't want his people to be killed and widowed, orphaned, exiled, enslaved. But have you noticed Hezekiah's other great concern? His other great concern in his prayer is God's honor. It's God's glory. And this concern of his comes out at the end of verse 19. Save us, please. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Hezekiah wants God to act so that the world will know there's only one God who reigns in heaven above and on the earth below. Hezekiah is concerned that the world knows that the Lord alone is God. And this concern was present back up in verse 16. Also, the king of Assyria sent this letter to mock the living God. Hezekiah is saying, Lord, your honor is at stake. You're being mocked. Your name, your reputation. And would the Lord do a work in us, in you and in me, that we would be jealous for the Lord's honor? As we think about challenges that the church faces, that our nation faces, and even the crisis that we personally face, would we too be concerned for the reputation of the Lord in the eyes of others? Would we be a people so enthralled with the glory of God, so enthralled with the goodness of God, a people so moved to worship by his glory, majesty, power, a people so overwhelmed by the grace shown in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on that cross and his resurrection from the dead, that our heart cry is one whereby we long for God to be magnified in the eyes of others. We long for them to see what we see. Lord, be at work in this crisis that you would bring glory to your name. And this is Hezekiah's prayer. He first exalts God, bringing to mind who it is he is praying to. He lays out the crisis before the Lord as one who is able to do something about it. He asks the Lord to save, and he asks the Lord to be at work for his own name's sake. We are not kings, and we're not queens. We don't have authority over a kingdom. But I think we can learn from Hezekiah as we pray for various crises that we face. Although we live a couple of thousand years after Hezekiah, we too pray to the God who is enthroned, the one who alone is God over the kingdoms of the earth. We pray to the God who made heaven and earth. And as a closing thought, think too that Hezekiah, as king, is interceding for his people in the midst of a severe crisis. How wonderful that as God's people, as Christians, we have the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns and who intercedes for his people. The one who is with his bride in the crisis. The one who never leaves or forsakes us in trouble. The one who works in and through the crises we face for our good. Give thanks to him. Let's pray. Lord God, you do not spare us hardship and struggle and trials in this world. But you do promise to be with us and working in us and through us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you that we pray to one who made heaven and earth, to one who is king over the nations, the one who is at work for your own name's sake. Help us to trust you in the crisis. Help us to look to you in the crisis. Help us to exalt you in the crisis. Lord God, be at work for your own name's sake through all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.